Okay, welcome back, everybody, to our learning at Sha'arei. It is early Yom Dalet Adar. We are rapidly approaching the Yom Tov of Purim, which means we are just 10 days away from the Yom Tov of Purim. In the English calendar, I think it's March the 1st, actually. And I don't know, time goes very, very quickly. Here we are in March. The kids just said how they haven't worn their winter coats and how it barely snowed. And I said, shh. Don't talk about it. Okay, so we are learning Ilui Nishmas Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak Alei Hashalom. She actually has a new granddaughter as well. She should be a Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak Alei Hashalom. She should be a Melitz Yosher for her entire family, for Simcha, Besoros Tovos, and Rov Nachas. So we are learning, I'll tell you what page we're on. We're on page 50, okay, of the second Sefer, but I really did plan some Purim insights based on what we're learning, just, I think, in Yanei Diyoma. Here we are approaching the Yom Tov of Purim, so we should learn something relevant to Purim. So if you turn to the top of page 50, we'll do a couple of paragraphs, and then we'll start to talk about Purim a little bit, what I prepared.
I want to make it your class on Tuesday.
Say it
next
again.
Tuesday. You're having your class next Tuesday also, right? Your Purim class next Tuesday, JCC?
No.
Every Tuesday.
It was. No. I'll tell you after. I want to hear about the Rabbitson after and after. The soul comes from a clear world. The Talmud states, Rav Yosef, the son of Rav Yeshua, returned from the world of truth. I'm just going back one paragraph. After clinical death, he told people what he observed was a topsy-turvy world. The higher people were low, the lower people were high. He was informed the fact he saw a clear world. So that's the Olam HaEmes. The world that we are in is an upside-down world. Certainly we see that in our day and time. And the world of truth is up there where everything becomes clear. We require clarity if we are to awaken our souls. As long as a person uses concepts for Avodas Hashem that are not totally clear to him, he cannot awaken his soul. The soul can only be awakened by ideas that are absolutely clear and simple. So if we want to reach the level of our neshama, we have to have a level of clarity. If we start to become confused and confounded and it's too deep and it's too profound, then somewhere along the way we get confused. We're going to have a problem in our Avodas Hashem when employing such ideas. There's an agreement between the knowledge of the intellect and the recognition of the heart, which is the soul, and the soul can awaken and emerge. So really we want to reach our soul, which the Mechaber is reiterating over and over to us. We want to have clarity to know the concepts that are embedded within our soul. And I want to go to Adar a little bit, and specifically the Yom Tov of Purim. I did prepare some insights based on the Yom Tov of Purim. So the first thing I want to clarify, and Rabbitson Rabbitson Tzikesh is in here today, but she said last time, when I said that Simcha is really acceptance or contentment, she said it's a little bit more than that. But I was speaking to her after the shir. Who was standing with us? Was it you who was standing with us? That really acceptance is the first level, which leads to a level of simcha. Without acceptance, there can't be simcha. You have to first accept or be content with what the Ribbono Shel'olam sends your way, and then you can come to simcha. But without that acceptance, you can't reach the simcha. So it's really like a stepping stone. So when she said simcha is more, it's true. Simcha is an elevated level of joy, but you have to bring yourself to that level of joy. And I said it over my other classes, but everybody who did not see it on the news should know. Rav Arya Kopinski, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Hashem Yikom Damo, is one of the Harnof Kedoshim. He had a minhag every Rosh Chodesh Adar, his own minhag. Every Rosh Chodesh Adar, he would stand at a certain intersection in Yerushalayim dressed as a clown, and he would give out candy to the passerby and to the children. And it was in the Anarut Sheva, I saw it on Monday, which was Rosh Chodesh Adar, that his parents came. And his parents, who are not particularly very young people, not 100, but they interviewed Rabbi Kopinski's brother, and he said, why do my elderly parents do this? And they wanted to carry on the tradition of their son, which is bringing simcha to other people. And there was a picture of them, this man and this woman, dressed in full clown costumes, the clown shoes, clown costumes, sitting on like those, you know, collapsible beach chairs with baskets of candy on their lap, handing out candy to others. And there were also pictures of them with children, which what I surmise, and yes, I'm assuming the children were dressed in like clown hats, may have been, in fact, the children of Rav Kopinski, and they were handing out candy, and they want to keep up his tradition. So I strongly believe that first you need to accept in order to come to the higher level of simcha. You can't get to that higher level of ivdu as Hashem b'simcha without accepting what the Ribbono Shel'olam sends your way. So when we talk about Mishnah Nichas Adar Marbim b'simcha, such a madriga to see these two people just doing such a simple act, which I'm putting in quotes because it's truly an act of tremendous courage just to sit there and be mesameach other people through carrying on the legacy of their son is just an astonishing, empowering, inspiring, moving, and meaningful thing to witness. What did you say? I didn't hear. Ladies, what are you saying? You don't want to, you could say. Okay. You want to say? No, okay, fine. So that's the first thing that I wanted to clarify based on our discussion last week. Okay, now I want to talk about Harav Kadoshim. Next thing I want to quote from is Rav Moshe Tversky, of course, who was a Magid Shir Shir Star Moshe, tremendous Talmid Chacham who does not need accolades, but it's interesting, just in the car on the way here, my brother's on his way to Eretz Yisrael, Bezras Hashem, so he called me and he said, can I pick up this book to take with me? So I said, actually, no. I said, it's in my bag now, I'm on the way to Shul, and I said, I use it all the time. I'm sorry, I can't take it. I use it all the time. So I do recommend that everyone should have their own copy. If you don't, Amalek and Armit, the story of Rav Moshe Tversky, the biography. So he shares something which I mentioned once before very briefly, related to Mishnah Nichas Adar Marvim Simcha. We're talking about this measure of Simcha. We started talking about it last week. The Rebbetzin clarified. Today we came to a deeper understanding of what it really means on a deeper level. Mishnah Nichas Adar Marvim Simcha. When Adar enters, okay, quoting from, this is from a shir that he once gave on the sublime nature of Purim, and how he related to the joy of Purim and the joy of Adar. Mishenichnas Adar Marbin B'Simcha. When Adar enters, which is what we're really talking about, which is, by the way, a facet of Amuna. We understand it, right? The whole purpose of our learning is to increase our Amuna. Bilvavi Mishkan Evne. Oh, Truma and Tetzava. Bilvavi Mishkan Evne. Vasuli Mikdash V'Shechanti B'Socham. These are the parshas of building the Mishkan for Hashem. Simcha, we would not have any simcha at all if we didn't have amuna. Before contentment and acceptance comes, amuna. I believe everything is from Hashem. Therefore, I accept that everything is from Hashem. Therefore, I can have joy. Stages. So this is unique. So Rav Tversky taught that this is unique in the whole system of Yamim Tovim. What is unique? All the Yamim Tovim have an aspect of Simchas Yom Tov. But what's unique is that the simcha of Purim permeates an entire month. It's interesting.
Month.
Oh, permeates the entire month. All the other Yamim Tovim have Simcha, but the joy does not spill beyond the time boundaries of the Chag. Chazal don't say Mishenichnas Nisan Marbim B'Simcha. Yeah, you have Simchas Yom Tov on Pesach, and it's the month of Geula, redemption. But the Simcha of Purim, Purim's one day, not seven or eight in Galus, and the Simcha of Purim spills out into an entire month. It is a matter of on the other Yom Tovim, Bo Bayam, on that day you have Simcha. Purim has a unique quality. The Simcha extends outwards beyond the 2 days of Purim itself. If 2 days, if you're, I was talking to someone who, from here who's going to be in Eretz Yisrael, so I said, where is she going to be celebrating her Purim, depending on where you're staying, outside Yerushalayim, inside the walls? The reason is for this. Why? Why does the Simcha, you can have two Purims.
Yeah.
Some of them end up with 3 days.
They end up with three.
They go from different cities.
So Rav Tversky would make sure to sleep in the old city, actually, not just do this, so that he was in the walled city, so there was no suffix where he was. Okay, the reason for this, why does the Simcha of Purim spill into the whole month? Because Purim has unique features that have to do with the end of days, Yemos HaMashiach, and the time of the Mashiach may be speedily. The first one is wiping out Amalek. They're still waiting to wipe him out. Accepting the Torah, they accepted the Torah during the time of Purim, and the miracle of Vinahafachu, things turned upside down. What's interesting about this is the Mechaber, the part that we just quoted from the book, is the Gemara, it's Maseches Pesachim 50a, Olam Hafuch Ra'isi, we're in an upside down world. What happened in Purim? The world righted itself for that brief time in Esther, in the time of Esther and Mordechai, what was upside down became right. So there's three features of Purim, says Rav Tversky, that have to do with the end of days, with the times of Mashiach. Number one, wiping out Amalek, that's not going to happen till when? Promos of Mashiach. Ki yad al keis ka milchama la Hashem ba Amalek midar dar. Until the end of days, we're fighting Amalek. Two, accepting the Torah. We accept the Torah, but it's not until the end of days when the whole world will accept the Torah. And finally, a miracle in the matter of v'nahafachu, things will be turned upside down. Therefore, says Rav Twersky, why is the Simcha of Purim spill out? Because of these three features, Purim is a taste of the world to come. It's a taste of Az Yamale Schok Pinu. We'll be truly besimcha in the end of days when our mouth will be filled with laughter. What does Az mean? And this is what I briefly mentioned once before. Not a reference to a chronological point in time, but it's rather Az, a different realm, a different world. Because Aleph and Zayin in Gematria, Aleph is one, Zayin is seven, so Aleph and Gematria together, Aleph and Zayin in Gematria makes eight. Eight is the number that represents transcendence of nature. And that's the realm of Olam Haba. Certainly what happened for the Jews in the time of Mordechai and Esther and Shushan and Biru was beyond nature. According to nature, they should have all been destroyed because the runners went out, and we are not so far from a generation that did not merit v'nahafachu in their time. We are not far from a generation that went through a terrible period of Hester Panim. Mordechai and Esther went through a period of Hester Panim. The Gemara says that, Chulin 139b, very famous. Esther mina Torah minayin. Where's the reference to Esther in the Torah? Vanochi Haster Astir Panaimikem Bayam Hahu. I will hide my face because of all the bad that they did. They turned to serve other gods. So the Gemara says that the time period of Esther Mordechai was the time of Hester Panim. Hashem was hidden. That's alluded to by the fact that Shem Hashem is not in the Megillah. It's an allusion to the Hester Panim. Except that v'nahafachu, we merited that the world was turned upside down. We're not far from a time when the world was upside down for six terrible, treacherous, dark, dark times of Hester Panim. But Oz, the ultimate Oz, is only in Olam Haba. The eight, the transcendence of nature, everything associated with Olam Haba, says Rav Twersky, is a facet of the realm called Oz. Now he says, that's why Avodas Hashem is inextricably bound up with Simcha. Why? Because when you're involved in Avodas Hashem and you are besimcha, you're already in a certain sense in the realm of Oz. The simcha moves you to that time that is Me'ein Olam Haba. Without simcha, there would be a lowering of Hashem to this worldly level. So simcha brings us to the realm of Oz. Oz Yamale Schok Pinu Shalneinu Rina. In the end of days, our mouths will be filled with laughter. Amalek will be wiped out. The Torah will be clear to all. And what was the third thing? V'nahafachu, the world will be right side up. But through serving Hashem with simcha, says Rav Twersky, you can merit a little bit of that Oz, even during our times. So the way we increase simcha during the first 13 or 14 days of Adar is learning Torah, doing mitzvot. Those bring us to the realm of Oz, and we fulfill Mishenichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha. So by taking the simcha of Purim, and through mitzvot, through chesed, through tefillah, moving ourselves into the realm of the next world, even while we are in this world. Yes?
And so I heard a shiur. It was actually someone sent me a little movie thing on WhatsApp, and that was beautiful. It was saying that as long as we have, it was all in Hebrew, if we have da'agot, if we have problems, and we can't be besimcha.
If we have what? I'm sorry.
Da'agot. Problems.
Worries.
Know, worries. If you have worries.
The Hebrew word.
The Hebrew word for worry, da'agot.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's not your fault. You went from English to Hebrew in the same sentence?
Yeah,
I didn't know what you were saying.
This was in Hebrew.
Okay, it says,
you're worried about everything. You're worried about your kids, you're worried about your parnasa, you're worried about your health, you're worried about, you just wake up from the minute you wake up to the minute you go to sleep, you're worried. Okay? Because that is not being an Ovei Hashem. What it is that if you accept and you hand it over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, yeah, tell Hashem your worries. Tell it to Hashem. And once you tell it to Hashem, that means you understand that of course you do your hishtadlus, you go to work, but you can't spend your day worrying. You have to understand that in order to be besimcha, right. If you're not
the worry is counterintuitive, counterproductive, and against Simcha. And I want you to know something I once heard many years ago about the Aga. It's all the first letters of the Aleph Beis except the Beis. Aleph, it doesn't have Beis, it has Gimel, Dalet, Hey. What's the Beis? Bitachon.
Ah,
I didn't make that up. Someone told me that time. If you have the aga, then you lack bitachon. So it doesn't have to be. So what you're saying is absolutely true. You can have a measure of simcha if you're worried about everything. It's much easier said than done. Okay? It's very nice. It's very often. You know what happened? Sunday was really not feeling well. I was not feeling well. Thank God it was Sunday. I didn't have any classes. My brother was able to help with the kids. I was really not feeling well. Everything's from Hashem, but when you don't feel well, it's reiterated that mamash every minute, everything's from Hashem. Tuesday, I gave a class to Megillas Esther. This was 2 days after I was not feeling well, so Monday was already like on the mend, so I still had very vividly in mind that Sunday was not a good day. My recorder app, and there are people waiting for the Megillas Esther shiur, and the app's not working. So I looked at Hashem, and I said, Hashem, I know you're in charge of everything. I already remember from Sunday that you're in charge of everything. I didn't forget. You're in charge of how I'm feeling. You're in charge of the recorder. You're in charge of I can send out the shiur. If we have the daga, it's counterproductive. Throw everything on Hashem. Hashleich al Hashem Yehavecha. Tell him your problems. Throw it on him. And only then, when you accept it's from Hashem, that's why I said simcha is first accepting. And think of... I saw a picture of the Kopinskis. If you want the link, I could try and send it to you. And they're sitting there on the chairs. You have to first have amunah and bitachon, put the bays into aga. Then you have to have acceptance, which leads to a sense of contentment, which leads to simcha. And you can access us, 1 + 8, you can access the transcendence of the next world while you are still in this world, which is otherwise not possible. And therefore, Rav Tversky said, the simcha permeates the entire month. It's a unique simcha to the day of Purim, which is represented in Kimu v'Kiblu, the acceptance of Torah, wiping out of Amalek, we won over Haman, and finally, v'nahafachu. Okay? It's interesting that you brought up, any other questions or comments yet? So it's interesting that you brought up, what did you say, tefillah? Did you bring it up, tell Hashem? Or did I make that up?
Give it over to Hashem.
Give it over to Hashem, okay?
You know, you want to tell him about all your problems, fine. Tell him about your problems. And then, if he knows about your problems, he'll have to do something about it, he says. But if you're going to drive yourself crazy and not talk to Hashem, he has no clue what you're...
Oh, so wait a minute. Rav Shimshon Pinchas says this. Rav Shimshon Pinchas says... that the way Hashgacha works, you need to tell Hashem what's wrong. Because it's as if he doesn't know and he doesn't see if you don't tell him. Now, of course Hashem knows and of course Hashem sees. But that's what Rav Pinchas brings down in Sha'arim B'Tfilah, that the way Hashgacha works, you need to tell him what you need in order for him to listen and answer you. It's unbelievable Ha'ara, because you think, what do I need to tell you for? You know what I need. You know I'm not feeling well. I need to feel better. You know my app's not working and I can't send out the shiur. You know. So I was saying, Hashem, there are women who are waiting to hear a shiur. Please let them be able to access the shiur. And when it Baruch Hashem worked, it was so cute. It was around the time that the kids came home from school. So one of my boys said... maybe it was my learning. His rabbi told him how great he learned in school today. Oh, and when he came, he says, maybe it's my learning. So Baruch Hashem. What did I want to say, which I was going to say later, but I'm going to say now, based on what you said and what I said, Rav Pinchas says, tell Hashem. By the way, there was a proof for that in the Torah. Vayetar Yitzchak Hashem lenochach ishto ki akara hi. The beginning of Todos. Yitzchak daven to Hashem. For his wife, ki akarahi. It's very strange words, because she is barren. So tell me, Yitzchak davened to his wife, but why ki akarahi? Hashem doesn't know they didn't have children for 20 years? What? So what's the proof? You have to tell Hashem what you need, even though he knows. Heni taught. If anyone asked me to borrow this book, also I would say, I'm sorry, I can't lend it. But anyway, you should have your own. Heni taught, prayer should not be reserved for certain times. We're talking about Amunah, we're talking about Bitachon, which is minus the Agam, we're talking about Simcha. And so specifically that all relates to Adar. A Jew should talk to God all day long. To women who told her they did not have time to daven Shemon Esrei, Heni counted them, utilize other times to speak to Hashem. By the way, please don't take a Psak Halacha from this. Okay? Women are mechuyev in tefillah every day. I'm reading from the book. Heni counseled them to utilize other times to speak to Hashem. She told Tali, if you wake up in the middle of the night to turn from left to right, talk to God. You know why that's so interesting? Because who remembers what the Mechaber said many months ago we saw? What's on your mind if you wake up in the middle of the night and someone asks you, what are you thinking about? What should you answer? Who remembers? The Mechaber said it. Okay, we're talking about tonight. Amunah. This sefer, Bavavi Mishkan Eved said, if you wake up in the middle of the night and someone says to you, what's on your mind, you know what you should say? Amunah. So Heni told this woman, if you wake up in the middle of the night while you're nursing your babies, turn from left to right. Talk to Hashem. Formal davening is important, but talk to him in any way you can. The kids are behaving? Thank him. The dinner turned out well? Thank him. The baby's having a tantrum? Turn to Hashem for help. So her sister, Esther, related as follows. My sister, Heni, taught me so many things, but probably the most about tefillah. Her thing is Hashem hears whatever's coming out of your mouth, whatever it is. By the way, that's a little sobering. Goes both ways, that means. He hears everything that comes out of your mouth, whatever it is. It's not only my app needs to work so I could send the women the shir who are waiting for the shir. And I need to feel better because if I don't feel better, like Sunday, I couldn't amich, I mamish kunat avid. I understood so profoundly why the Rambam says you have to be healthy. If you're not healthy physically, you can't be healthy spiritually. You can't do all the mitzvahs if you're not well. But the lemaisa, the flip side is, when a hafachu is, he also hears what comes out of your mouth that shouldn't come out of your mouth. Just something to keep in mind. Many years ago, I said, I don't have time every day to say shachris. So she said, what did Henny counsel her sister? Listen to me. Every night before you go to sleep, you should tell your reflections to Hashem. Talk to him. Thank him. Ask for what you need. Ask for koach for the next day. My son-in-law, Yechiel, was hit by a rock in the south. Henny's nephew. We slept all the way to the hospital with Henny. He was sleeping the whole time. She called me afterwards and she says, you just have to remember, you always have to daven, daven, daven. This was her big thing and this was what she taught me. And then Henny brings down that 10 portions, the Gemara says this, the Gemara says 10 portions of Sicha came to the world, 9 were given by women. So people think, you know, that's funny because Sicha means conversation, so haha, women talk a lot. But Sicha doesn't only mean conversation. Ma'afti sarasecha kolam hi sichasi vayetze yitzchak lasuach basada. Rashi specifically says, 24:63 in Bereishis, lashon tefillah. So if women took 9 measures of tefillah, we have a tremendous koch. And it's using that koch that we get rid of the aga. That we get rid of yeush, which is also the opposite of simcha. That's the goal of the Yetzer Hara, what serves our Biederman. Biederman says he doesn't seek the sin. It's the disconnect that comes as a result of this. And think about it. If you do something and you're really down on yourself, it's that down on you, maybe it doesn't happen to you, but it's that down on yourself that the Yetzer Hara loves. Because all of a sudden you feel disconnected from Hashem. You feel like he doesn't want to hear from me. And I did the wrong thing and I can't come back. And that's the antithesis of simcha. Woman took 9 portions of sicha. So Henny would say, talk to Hashem every second while you're doing your lunch, while you're doing your dishes. Talk to Kosh Baruch Hu. That's what we are here for. Any questions or comments? Yes.
I was reading in Living Amunah.
Say it again, Laura.
The sefer Living Amunah.
Can you say it again?
Living Amunah.
What
the Sefer Asher, right. Living Amunah.
Thank you. I'm sorry. it's not really my fault, but I'm sorry if it's frustrating.
It's fine.
Thank you. It teaches you patience. That's what you have to have with me. Yeah.
Part of Amunah is also thanking Hashem for all the good that we have. And then it went even further, and he stated, gave examples, that when something bad could have happened and didn't, then we should thank Hashem. And it could be something small, like a glass fell on the floor and didn't break. Or, I don't know, like it could be just little things in life that happened that like it could have, something bad could have happened, but, you know, Baruch Hashem, it didn't. So then in those cases also we thank Hashem, and that increases our emunah. And I feel like, I don't know, even in the negative situations, we have a positive, or what could have been negative, we have a positive
outcome.
On it.
So how do you always know those situations? You don't always know.
It's with, well, I mean...
Oh, you mean if it's more obvious?
There's something, yeah. I mean, I forgot the other example. There are 2 examples, and they're both very good. The one with glass, I remember. But it could just be something that could have almost
had an accident.
Right, you're driving,
and you just missed. Chas v'sham. No, not Chas v'sham, Baruch Hashem.
That we should definitely.
Okay.
That's easy to quit Baruch Hashem, but like something when it's small things. Right.
So it's interesting. I don't have the book on me, very nice, but Rav Mordechai Kamenetsky brings down this parasha parables, and I saw it this week when I was preparing for a different class. I forget which Rav. I don't have it on me. could be Remendel Kaplan, but I don't have it inside. But wherever he went, it was Baruch Hashem. So one time it was about the car, and his car started smoking, so a motorist motioned to him, you have to pull into the mechanic shop, the gas station, I see smoke. So he pulled into the gas station, gets out of the car, and they check on it, and there was a small fire. So they said, Rabbi, there was a fire. It's a good thing you came here. So he said, thanks God. So they said, thanks God you got out of the car. He said, no, just thanks God. In other words, I'm not saying that God, just whatever happened, it's thanks God. There's a fire, there's not a fire, he pulled in the station, did what, just thanks God. But talking about this koch of tefillah and telling Hashem what we need, and throwing the da'aga on him. Okay? So I want to share with you the Medrash. My boys are so cute, they're in fifth grade, so they recently started learning Gemara, so when I pulled this out, it's the Medrash. Is that Gemara? I said, no, it's the Medrash. Okay? So I just want to
share.
What did you say?
Any large book at this point.
Well, it looks like it's art school. I mean, I just
should
elucidate
it. Does, actually,
it.
Even the way it's set up.
It's wonderful.
Yes.
It's amazing. I don't work for them, but it's cool. Okay? We're talking about Koach of Tefillah. And the Koach of Tefillah can bring us to this place of Simcha, understanding everything's from Hashem, telling Him everything that you need, and casting upon Him your burden. Because da'aga alone is, what's the point? What does it get you? It could eat you up.
Yes.
But if you throw it on a Kosh Baruch Hu and tell him, so I'm so nervous and I'm being assumed, but this is what I need to do, Baruch Shalom. Okay, so what happened in the story of Megillah and Purim? We all know what happened in the story of the Megillah and Purim. Leich Knosses Kol HaYehudim HaNimtzayim B'Shushan, right? The very famous words right before that she doesn't want to go to the king, Mordechai wants her to go to the king. Such profound words. Umi Odeh Im La'ez Kazos Higat L'Malchus. This very moment might be the whole purpose of your life. You don't know. Your whole purpose of your life was for this. Imachareish Tacharishi Be'ez Ozoz Revach V'Atzala Ya'ama La'Yehudim Imakam Acher. You'll be lost into the mists of history. We have fate and we have destiny, says Rav Salvechik. Fate is what happens to a person. Destiny is how I embrace it. Esther Malka, your whole fate brought you to this exact moment. You have a choice. Embrace it or leave it. If you leave it, you will be lost. So she says she's going to go. So, Leich Knosses Kol Yehudim HaNimtzayim B'Shushan. Go find all those 18,500 Jews who partied with Achashverosh. Kol Yehudim. Tsumu alai. Now they're going to fast for me. They partied, they drank, they ate by Achashverosh, 18,500. I'm not making this up. That's what the Medrash says. So now what should they do? Now they're going to fast. Now they're not going to drink. Al tochlu, no eating. Al tishtu. How do you do a kapara for that partying with Achashverosh HaRasha? Hu berisho me trilaso va'ad sofo, says Rashi to Perek Aleph Pasuk of the Megillah. Achashverosh was a Rasha. Al tochlu v'al tishtu shloshes yamim. So the 3 days that they were supposed to fast, that she had to go to the king, were over which Yom Tov? Talking about Simchas Yom Tov? I didn't hear. Did someone say and I didn't hear or no one said?
Pesach.
Pesach. Eluhein Yud Gimel Yudal V'Tesvav B'Nisan. So she's saying, you're going to fast. You partied, you had a mishteh that was not a Simchas Yom Tov, so now you're going to fast. It's Teshuvah. So Mordechai said to her, "Harei b'hem yom rishon shel Pesach. How can we do this? This is over the Yom Tov of Pesach." So listen what she answered him. Amrula, this is Medrash Rabba Esther. Amrula, Zakein shel Yisrael, the Gadol Hador, the Zakein in Yisrael. Lama hu Pesach? What is the point of having Pesach? And the elucidation continues, if there are no Jews, explains A.C. Yosef, to celebrate Pesach. You're worried about the Yom Tov of Pesach, so we can't fast on Pesach. But if we're all not here because it's Lahash Midar Gabe, it's Kol Yehudim, then what's it going to help to have Pesach? Who's going to celebrate Pesach? Miyad Shama Mordechai. There's two types of hearing. There's listening and there's hearing. One time you could just say, okay, and you don't know what the person's saying, or you can internalize. Mordechai internalized the Hoda Lidvara. What does it mean, Hoda? Like Yehuda, Tzadkami Meni, Hoda Lidvara? He admitted to her words. In other words, he acknowledged that she was right. Vayavar Mordechai vayaska chalasher tzivsa alav Esther. He realized it's true. Like Lamaisa, who's going to sit down to the Pesach Seder if we're all not here next year? Because in Adar, we're all going to be destroyed. So who's going to be here next Nisan? Nobody. Okay. Then Mordechai davened. Mordechai davened. I have to say, if we, I'm not sure if we, I'm not going to go through Mordechai's whole tefillah right now, but he davened to Hashem. And he said, Hashem, it wasn't because of Gaiva that I didn't bow down. I'm not telling you the Lashon inside. It wasn't because of Gaiva that I didn't bow down to Haman. It's not because I'm so great and I don't want to bow down. But Hashem, it was for your koach. Save us. Save us, Hashem. And what did Mordechai do? Does anyone know who he went to gather? Kibetz as a tinokos. He went to get, Tinokos is a baby, he went to get the little children, 22,000. Ve'ina osam milachem umayim. And they had to fast, they had to ina, suffer, they had to be without bread and water. Ve'hilbishan sak, he put them in sackcloth. Ve'oshivim be'efer, they sat in the ashes. Ve'hayutso akim, they would call out, scream. Uvochin and cry, Ve'oskim b'torah. And we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not reject the tefillos of little children. This is not difficult to believe because Jewish children are very often wise beyond their years, very astute and understanding. Didn't you say your granddaughter always tells you a little while ago? What does she say? When's Mashiach?
Yeah.
What does she say?
Is Mashiach coming? When am I going to see Grandma and Shemayim? Yeah.
They have a very deep sensitivity.
That you would not expect them to think about. Young children think about things that you would never expect them.
So he got the young children, and the children were fasting, and the children were dressed in sackcloth and the dust, and they were crying out and screaming and learning Torah. So we have everybody in Shushan. Haman wants to destroy Eskol Yehudi Minar Vad Zaken, and here this beautiful piece of the Medrash, who's included? The Na'ar, the children, and the Zaken. Who's the Zaken? What does Esther call him? Mordechai, she says, Zakein b'Yisrael. So here we tap into the koch of Narva Zakein. Let the children fast, let the elder listen. But then I want to tell you about Esther's tefillah. Ba'esahi, when she had to approach the king, Haisa Esther nifchades me'od mipnei hara asher tzamcha b'Yisrael. What was she? She was terrified about the evil that had befallen Israel. You know, when I read the news lately, it's sort of surreal. Do you know what I mean? Like the tombstones being knocked over in St. Louis and the tombstones being knocked over in Philadelphia. And there was just a beating in France and swastikas are being painted. There was a snowstorm one of the nights in Montreal. They found on the lawn on one of the fields of the university a huge swastika painted in the snow and in the buildings. It seems very surreal. Like we're still in our enclave, but that's not emes, and that's not reality. And we need to emulate what Esther did. We need to be nifchades me'od mipnei hara asher tzamcha b'Yisrael. We have to be shaken to the core over the bad that has sprouted against Israel, because it causes us to turn to Hashem. If we just take empty worry and I'm so afraid, so that's counterintuitive and counterproductive, we're not going to get anywhere. But if you internalize and you know and you appreciate and you're afraid, but you throw it on a bowl of shalom, so that's what he wants from us. Come back to me. So she donned her royal garments and her crown, estif arta, her glory, batil bashsak. Oh no, I'm sorry. She removed her royal garments and she dressed in sackcloth. She made her hair disheveled, offer ve'efer. Dust and ashes. Interesting that Lashon is used, because who said about himself, Hine no ha'alti ladaber v'anochi afer ve'efer? Avram Avinu. When he's davening for the people of Sdom, tefillah, he says, Anochi afer ve'efer. Esther's about to daven, she taps into the koch of her first forefather, and she says, just like you listen to Avram Avinu, even though those tefillahs weren't answered in the way he hoped by Sdom, he was afer ve'efer, I'm afer ve'efer. Vata'anen nafsha bitzom, she fasted, vatipal al panel lifnei Hashem, vatit palel, and she davened. And what did she say? What did Esther say to Ribbono Shel Olam? Hashem Elokei Yisrael Hashem Meshaltimi Mekedem Uvarasa As Olam, the God of Israel, who has ruled from antiquity, from days of old, and created this whole world. Azornar Amascha. This is further proof. Hashem didn't know Esther needed to be helped. Hashem didn't know the Jews were slated for destruction. Hashem didn't know Haman was building the gallows and the concentration camps and the ovens and it's Kol Yehudim. Hashem didn't know. Azorna, help me. Amascha asher nish'arti yosoma b'li ava'im. I have nobody. I am a yosoma. I am an orphan. I have no father. I have no mother. Think about Esther Hamalka. Sometimes Hashem makes a person so isolated they realize they have no one to turn to. That's Esther. Not only did she not have her father, nor did she ever not have her mother. She's taken from Mordechai, who's her uncle, who the Gemara also says was her has been. She's taken away from her community. She's taken away from her shteta, and she's thrust into the reality of what's going on. I can still say it feels a little bit surreal. You know, I know the reality. Like, I can't believe it. But she was taken away from everybody. She is one lonely maiden, literally alone in the palace of the king. And when you're all alone, who else are you going to tell? It's almost like she was isolated to come closer to the Ribono Shel Olam. Help your maidservant. I am left alone, an orphan, without a father and mother. Umishula la'aniya. I am like a poor woman. Sho'elas mibayis labayis. I'm like begging from house to house. So too I am asking for your mercy. Mechalon lechalon. I'm going from window to window. You imagine her walking down that long hall in that ornate palace, and I'm asking from window to window, help, grant hatzlacha to your maidservant, this poor woman, and save the sheep of your pasture from the enemies, min ha'ayvim ha'elu asher kamu aleinu. Save us from the enemies who have risen up against us. Because if we don't merit v'nahafachu, if the hester panim continues, chalila v'chas, without the overturning, Esther understood where Klal Yisrael was headed. And therefore save the sheep of your pasture from these enemies. Ein lecham atzar, there's nothing stopping you, lahoshia berav o bim'at, to save us through the hands of the many or the hands of the few. And she calls him Avi Yisomim, Shem, you're the father of orphans. Stand up to the right hand of orphans, asher bechastecha vatcha, because I put my trust in your kindness. Vatcha, bechastecha batcha. This orphan, Esther Hamalka, trusts in you, Hashem. Vatcha, what's the word? Bitachon. Take your da'aga. Take your aloneness. Take your fear. She was nifchadas me'od. And put in your bitachon. And tell Hashem, I trust in you. Usina osi l'rachamim b'fnei ha'ish hazeh. Ki erasiv. She spoke the truth. She didn't say, I'm not afraid of him. She said, I am afraid of him. I am afraid of him. But Hashem, give me rachamim before this man. So interesting that she says, rachamim b'fnei ha'ish. Because before the brothers go back down to Egypt, Yaakov says, "May Kal Shakai grant Yitain the Charachamim Lifnei Ha'ish." It's the exact same words. Before the brothers go down to Yosef, Yaakov says, "May Kal Shakai Yitain the Charachamim Lifnei Ha'ish." It's exactly what she asks for. What could be the connection? I don't know. We have to think about it. Very interesting. Exact same lashon. V'hashpilehu lefanai, lower him before me, because you are mashpil geim, you lower the haughty. So when we talk about what saved Esther Hamalka, not Achashverosh, not his scepter, not that he had a change of heart and that she was so beautiful. She tapped into this unbelievable koach of tefillah that exists to each and every one of us. It's the koach of tapping into Simchas Adar. It's knowing that Kosh Baruch Hu always hears, that he's always there, that he's accessible, that he's ready, he's waiting and listening. We have to tell him. Okay. Any questions or comments? Okay, let's go. So, let's go on a couple more lines. Even though I want to tell you, should I go a couple more lines, or should I tell you what I tell you from Masav Yeshu 10 this year? I could do whichever one I want. Okay, sure. So then I'll tell you what I want to, with from Masav Yeshu. Okay. Yeah, this is actually relevant. It's good. What are you?
I'm just looking the name.
This?
Yeah.
Should go get this.
I don't think I have that one.
They only have Bereishis, Shmos, and Vayikra.
Okay.
It's a compilation of Rav Salvejik's Divrei Torah on the Psukim from many different sources. Should go get it.
I think 756.
What?
My husband was a Talmud. We have 7,000 cassettes. You know the old-fashioned cassettes that used to go in the Rav's Shiurim? Like everything, what he ever...
What do you do with them? You can't. You have no way to listen to them, even.
I don't know, but he owns them. He just feels good owning them. I don't even know.
What did you say?
You can't listen to it on white.
But maybe you should have them transferred over.
Yes, to a CD.
Maybe you could have. The problem is CDs are going out now.
Yes.
Okay, so let me just finish with this. We're talking about being alone. Us and Hashem, and when the person is the most alone, that's when he's most with Hashem. because we have the illusion when we are with other people that perhaps those are avenues of salvation. But when you really lamaisa left with nobi batir balasha olam, that's when you realize I have no one to turn to. So Rav Soloveitchik speaks about the parochas, the partition that separated between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy and the Holy of Holies in the Mishkan. From the time I was young, says Rav Soloveitchik, I learned to restrain my feelings, not to demonstrate what was happening in my emotional world. My father would say, the holier and the more intimate the feeling, the more it should be concealed. Excuse me. There is a hidden curtain that separates between your interior and your exterior. There is nothing more sanctified than the inner sanctum of one's emotional life. If you are overflowing with happiness, beautiful to end with this. We started to talk about simcha. Reveal that. Reveal the soul to Hashem. If you're overflowing with simcha, who should you go to? If it was Hashem, with simcha. Take your simcha and channel to God. If on the other hand, and this relates so beautifully to what we just saw in the Medrash about Esther, if you are in dire straits, you are mired in a cloud of pain and suffering, abandoned and alone, you should reveal your thoughts before the Creator. Cry to Him. Supplicate behind the curtain. I'm going to repeat that sentence. That's exactly Esther Hamalka. If you are in dire straits, you are mired in a cloud of pain and suffering. If you are abandoned and alone, that's all Esther. That's Esther. She's in dire straits, in a cloud of pain and suffering, abandoned and alone. Reveal your thoughts before the Creator. Cry to Him. That's exactly what she did. Supplicate behind the curtain. The Kohen Gadol's rendezvous with the Creator is in solitude. And then he notes, and I've read this elsewhere, he relates this elsewhere, my father never kissed me. When he took leave of me, he would press my hand. He would say, go in peace. May God watch over you. A casual onlooker, if he were to see this, would be taken aback. Dry, brisker coldness. But that observer witnessed the exterior. Relates so beautifully to our learning, because the Mechaber keeps focusing on the exterior of the person, the guf, which is harsh, and the soul, which is soft and warm. That stranger would see the exterior, the outside of my father's personality, but he didn't comprehend the interior, the Holy of Holies, which was full of mercy and compassion. His entire being was overwhelmed with love. So when a person is alone, when a person is afraid, when a person is trying to access the koach of their neshama, so it doesn't help to just worry without end, and it doesn't just help to complain about what we have, but we actually have to have clarity to awaken our souls, use the concept of clarity to awaken our soul, simple ideas. What are the simple ideas? Simcha is one of the highest levels of Avodas Hashem, but it comes from Emunah. Everything is from Him, which leads to contentment and acceptance, which leads to casting my burden onto God, which leads to bitachon, which is the absence of da'aga, which leads me to simcha. And then, azim aleischot binu, even while I am in this world, I can access the kochos of the next world. And that's true simchas adar. So we should be zocher. It's a hard avoda to internalize all of these ideas. They're very lofty. Hashem should help us. Bezos Hashem, we should be zochah to true simchas adar for us and all of Klal Yisrael. Amen v'amen. Does anyone have questions?
No. I sent you that excerpt in Hebrew.
Say it again.
I sent you what I got, so you'll get it.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
It's in Hebrew.
Anything else? Thank you, ladies.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.